It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 23rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The term police scanner is familiar, but the L3 Range R is something different. A USA Today investigation revealed this week that 50 law enforcement agencies are using the new device to scan people's homes from the outside. Privacy advocates are not happy. The report detailed a case where law enforcement used it to find a person who was violating parole. And since the device was used outside of the house, they found the person without a search warrant. We asked Marketplace's Stan Alcorn to look into this for us. Stan, how does the technology work?
Basically, it's radar. So a police officer takes the Range R, which is like a big walkie-talkie-looking device. Mm-hmm. He holds it against the outside wall of a house, and for a few seconds, it sends out radio waves through the wall that bounce off all the furniture and people and stuff in the house. Whoa. And then when the waves come back to the device, a lot of complicated signal processing happens that turns that into information about what's inside.
The USA Today article had the headline, "New police radars can, quote, see inside homes." What does a police officer actually see here? What are we talking about?
Yeah, see is kind of an exaggeration.
Okay.
I talked to a guy who evaluated the Range R and other devices for the Army Research Lab. His name's Mones Amin, and he's a professor of engineering at Villanova.
If you use very high resolution, you can resolve the arms and the legs and maybe the torso. But the problem with high resolution, you have to use very high frequencies. And high frequencies do not penetrate the wall.
So when you're using this through the walls, the state of the art right now is really just being able to detect motion and distinguish a person from something like a ceiling fan.
And then I get little, what, battleship blips to tell me where the person actually is in the house?
That would be a goal for the technology, I think. But there's still a lot of challenges, especially for these small handheld devices. Mm. For one, when you just send out the radar from that single point, you don't get a great three-dimensional picture. So you can tell how far away a person is from the device. They're 20 feet away, say. But you can't really tell exactly in what direction. So whether they're over in the living room or on the other side of the house in the kitchen.
All right. I'm definitely glad to know that the police can't literally see me in my bathrobe watching episodes of Black Mirror. But just detecting that I'm inside, is that even legal?
Well, if they have a warrant, it probably is. But if they don't have a warrant, that's the question that a lot of people would like to see answered a little more clearly.
Reporter Stan Alcorn. Stan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
It's Friday, and you know what time it is. This week, my Silicon Valley guest is Harry Campbell. He drives for Uber, Lyft, and Sidecar, and he blogs about it as the rideshare guy. Harry, are you ready to play the game where we try and stump each other with numbers from this week's tech news?
I was born ready.
All right. I got a number for you. 6.5 pounds of crystal meth.
Let's see. Is that the number that's imported to the U.S. on an hourly basis?
That's actually a very good guess, and it does have to do with importing to the U.S. This week, a drone carrying 6.5 pounds of crystal meth across the U.S.-Mexico border crashed in Tijuana. All right, you got something for me?
600 million users.
Is the number of WhatsApp users who are finally going to get to use WhatsApp on their desktop thanks to Microsoft.
All right, bingo. You've played this game before, haven't you?
Did I get it right?
That is correct.
All right, I got another number for you. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
2.6 million tweets.
During the State of the Union?
Well played, sir. Did you watch and or tweet about the State of the Union address?
I didn't tweet about it, but I think I listened to the end on the radio.
Do you do a lot of radio listening as you do some of your driving?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I tell a lot of the drivers, you know, that I talk to on my site. I mean, I even write articles about how drivers, you know, need to think about music as a part of their overall driving strategy and providing riders with a good ride, you know, whether it's letting them pick the music or even having an aux cable available so that they can pick music.
Harry, you got another number for me?
I've got one more number for you. $1.6 billion.
Oh, you know what? I think I know this one. Uber raised $1.6 billion in, like, it's not normal funding. It's like debt.
It's a term I've actually never heard. It was convertible debt, which basically will give them a discount when Uber eventually does their IPO.
Even though you are an Uber driver, are you scared that one day we're all going to be like drinking Uber milk?
Well, I do have a deep down conspiracy theory that Uber is trying to take over the world.
We shall see. Harry Campbell blogs as the rideshare guy. In his spare time, he drives for Lyft, Uber, and Sidecar. Harry, thank you very much for playing along.
Thanks for having me.
And this coming Sunday will mark the 100th anniversary of the first transcontinental phone call. The call back in 1915 stretched between New York and San Francisco. It celebrated a World's Fair event called the Panama Pacific Exposition in San Francisco. Historian Laura Ackley wrote a book about it. The call required nearly 7,000 miles of cable, sometimes drawn by horse and carriage.
Wended its way across the country, over mountain ranges and across rivers. And it was really quite a difficult and arduous construction to get this thing done.
Ackley says eventually that phone line was made into an interactive exhibit in San Francisco to show citizens the powers of new telephone technology.
You'd take a receiver from the back of the seat in front of you, and magically New York would be switched on the telephone line and everyone could hear it. The way they would prove that it was a real live line is that they'd have someone in the New York office read the headlines of the afternoon papers.
So this Sunday, when you're at the coffee shop pulling up those headlines on your smartphone and it takes a matter of seconds, remember, we live in an incredible era. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.